evening.
Glad you could join us on the program tonight. Coming to you live from NHCC Mount Morpho. But it doesn't quite stretch as far as it used to. It's not quite a concert hall that we used to. My name is Scott Jennings. This is Hannah. Taking on panel this evening. We have my one of many friends, Chris Brooks, in part one of our panel. Part one, we talked to some new parents about faith and being a parent and stuff like that. And in this week's edition, we're talking to some slightly older parents about being grandparents and so forth. We are live and interactive. Yes. Join the discussion at the hashtag #ParentsGot.
A girl whose father was actually
a very evangelical Anglican minister, and I also was by some other friends, I was about to go on Scripture Union camp, so I sort of had the two kind of influences, and I just found it all very wonderful the way God was able to blend all these different styles of worship. And then a bit later in life, I became tied up with Glenn. although I'd been baptized as an Anglican church, it wasn't very difficult for me to understand that baptism by immersion was a biblical way of doing things, and I was quite happy to undergo that. And then at some stage, I landed up with this crazy mom.
So before we get to into the grandparents' side of faith, briefly, so how has your faith been tested over the period of time?
I find this a difficult one to answer because I feel like there's things that occur to me that happen that aren't good, and I think, what the heck's going on? But never at all in that time have I thought, what's God doing to me? Or why is this happening to me? Or it might be, why is it happening, but not why is it happening to me? And there's never been a moment where I thought, or doubted God. Now that's changed, and my understanding of what's happening and why things happen, and my understanding about prayer and the role of that and all those sorts of things, that kind of changes all the time. But in terms of testing, have there been times when you can't see further than here, and you're wanting to see here? That's happened a lot. Has there been, I think Michael and I right now are going through a time where having resigned from my job and not having that salary coming in and building a new consultancy and needing to do that for family reasons, this is a testing time, but it's not testing my faith in God, if that makes sense.
Lyndon has been saying. I've had some pretty difficult times in my life and some really unpleasant times in my work situation, which I really regarded as a vocation, but it's really got into a huge mess on occasions, and really asking questions of God, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing this? And seeing things happening in the world, and terrible things happening in the world, far from home and also very close to home. And I've had some awful experiences with workmates being very seriously injured. And it always seems to happen to the people who are particularly nice people, even if they're not, calling themselves Christians, living, really good lifestyles, and whereas some people never bring anything but that, they sort of cruise along through life, you ask, why, what are you doing, God, if you're there, here I am talking to God, asking if he's there, that's a bit crazy, but then I looked at the Psalms and said, there's nothing new about this, the Psalms ask all these sorts of questions and rage against God, and I find them really good. And often I feel sort of a desert, as though my life's going through the deserts, and where's the oasis? This is a place where I find an oasis. Christian friends here and elsewhere.
I have a very similar or negative reaction to discussing with Linda. might quite hesitate to apply some words to his view. And that's, I've never felt that, that God is. So yes, there are times when I'm feeling that life is pessimistic, or my life is challenging, but it's in that place that I look for, I don't even think that much about my faith, it's what's my relationship with God. As I've been said right now, but, the first half of this year, I would say, has been one of the most challenging periods of my life. Equivalent to in the early, mid-80s, before we went to Nepal, I was part of a government amalgamation of departments and restructuring my job to get overnight. So I spent 18 months in the room, so it was really difficult. But in that was a bit of wondering where the clarity is and when is this going to end. So there's a challenging nature of what's the task of my faith and my relationship with God. Am I being tested? And so there's places where I'm called to some new call, that's the point. But there's a sense of what's required of me, what's the next stage of work about trusting, of letting go of my fear and finding God's love in it. So there's
So, positive note. what do you think about has your faith been reinforced or strengthened? Or your relationship with God?
In a way. I don't sort of relate to the idea of it being rewarded or whatever, but for me, my relationship with God is a given fundamental in my life, and I don't think the good things that happen to me are a reward for my faith. I think life is good and life is bad, and it's a mix, and God is walking with us, whatever. And so I have trouble actually praying for good things. As I have, dear God, give me this job, give me this, I just don't really relate to that anymore. In regards to children, probably one of the challenges in our family is my side of the family has an inherited eye condition, which results in blindness, retinitis pigmentosa, and my uncle's had it, my two brothers are both legally blind, and now Joel, our son, is legally blind, and that's Anya and Eddie's dad. And, it's never once occurred to me to pray for healing. I just don't feel like that's the appropriate thing to do. And I don't know, others will disagree theologically, but for me, that when there are things that are really great, I don't think, there is a response that all of life is a gift. Life is a gift from God, and that's really important to me, to live each day as though it is a gift from God, and to look for that. But I don't feel like that's a reward for my faith.
My first response was every day. I think the journey of my life and my faith, I think increasingly I don't think about my faith journey so much as my life journey that includes God in it. And so for me, the journey of my life is learning to see the life, the spirit at work in the everyday events of my life rather than, I think I grew up in a faith tradition that was all about and you have some spectacular story of where God intervened or showed himself. And that means you miss things in your life. So, Flynn said, at the moment, what Luca said, life right now is quite challenging. But in the midst of that, another thing that's happened to me is I've ended my 10 years as my outdoor 29-year-old daughter called the end of her 2-year marriage and 5-year relationship. grace even in the right mind. And I think that's the new model.
We don't actually have to decide where they're going to school, what their table manners are going to be like,
a whole range of things that, you know, beset us with their parents. It's so much more relaxing being with grandparents. All you do is love them and spoil them and hand them back when they need it. But the irony is actually, I don't like handing them back. I'm actually really happy to get on the floor and play the jigsaws and do all that. So, you know, I'm not sure what's happened. But, and in terms of faith, I think, you know, we've got Joel and Andrea who do have an overt Christian faith, but they don't come to church. We're delighted that we can be providing that, and that the community here is a spiritual community for our grandchildren, that as an extension of us, that they get this as well. That's important to me. I wish the rest of us.
Well, being your mother was something that I had always really looked forward to. I'm always really not babies and small children. But, and, you know, when they were primary school kids, it was all fun. But yes, adolescents and young adults, well, that was harder, quite a bit harder. But basically, you know, I think just the miracle of that new baby and the miracle of that new life, you know, it's just. Although, you know, some people it's not like that, it's very, very hard. So from the start, it's very simple. Things go on. As being grandparents, well, I love that too. It's, you know, it's to some extent, it's a really those years which I enjoyed so much when kids were babies and small children. I just feel terribly thankful that we have been able to see all of our children having grandchildren. Being grandparents, well, that was something I never aspired to be a grandmother, because it wasn't even a joke, but yeah, it's a nice stage of life, and being able to hand them back and not be responsible, that's great. Now, this is something which, again, I really want the opportunity to share this. Interesting that Alyssa has something to share, she did know that I'm interested too. But this is a quote from the prophet, which is book which I came across, you know, when I was probably in my early 20s, of Eastern wisdom, and so many parallels with Christian faith, and I really love the wording of it and the wisdom that actually comes from it. And this is the prophet speaking, answering a question about children, and he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts." A listening to one who thinks for herself. "You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children are living arrows that are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable." One of my favourites.
Parenting and grandparenting. I mean, for me, Linda and I, we'll often say to people, choosing whether to have children or not is in one sense equally self-centered. You do it if you want it for someone or not. But having had children, I don't think there's a bigger school in having to learn to be others' children. Because you just have to do something. I think that's an ongoing lesson. So there's multiple ways, I'd say, in which my children all the way through have been triggered for my own dealing with my own stuff, my own faith, my own journey. I mean, I think it was kids very early on trigger my anger very big way. I'd say it's a parenting thing that first got me dealing with my own anger and finding different ways of dealing with anger and frustration. Because it's my anger from the last time I come together. So that's just that was very early on. Learning how to think of correcting that too, because I'm practicing my theology that says the Spirit of God is alive and working in everybody, including my children. It's not just up to me. And how do I do my bit but trust?
I can move up there.
Yeah, you can move up there. So many stories. Joel and his dad was in some ways as a teenager from the most difficult child to deal with. And there's a big story some of you told about how we both felt we were in this very negative spiral with Joel. And having to look, we can't change him, what can we do ourselves? And working through what's going on in me and how can I engage with him differently. And part of that was me learning to let go in grief for the relationship I thought I wanted and how I wanted to relate to my son. And let go of that and look for what connection is there if I let him be himself. So huge lessons all the way through. On the grandparenting side of it, I was intellectually looking forward to it, but the profundity of it and shifting things happened in the woods. It is linked to the stage of life I'm at. There's something about moving into eldering people rather than fathering people. There is something delightful about seeing the reminder of being a bit like parenting, of this irrational warmth and connection, this little thing that's part of me, with the added unspeakable delight of seeing your own children with children. I can't put that into words. But the sense of removing the grandfathering, of taking myself less seriously, even less seriously. Taking it seriously, but holding myself more lightly. Being a grandfather shows up in how I live and do my work, because I'm letting go of trying to achieve too much. I don't need to do that anymore. My job is literally achieving. And I think it's helping me rest and enjoy. And see, that to me, the heart of the gospel is the prodigal son, the unconditional well-being father. And to have that expressed to them and said to them. And so, have that sense of my only job with my grandchildren is to make, be part of making sure they know they're loved and they're welcome. Well, do I feel that? Well, God's heart for me and us is in God. So, I can't put that into words, but there's something about watching my own engagement with my grandchildren helps me trust more strongly in God's absolute unconditional love for me. That makes it easier to live. That's about the extent of our questions.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. It's a huge ask, and we really, really do appreciate it. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
Does anyone have anything they want to ask?
How many grandchildren have you got, Michael and Linda?
Three.
Ezra, Anya, and Odette to Liam, our oldest son. She turned one last week,
Thanks. Chris?
One. Eight.
Wow.
Whoa!
Glenn's first marriage.
Just quickly say, I am not a grandparent. I do work in aged care with lots of people with lots of grandkids and great grandkids, and I, from a kind of professional point of view, love seeing when people's grandkids come in and their great grandkids. Lots of relatives. Often that I find their children come in, they're like logistically wanting to make sure they do all this, whereas the grandkids can kind of sit and chat, and so from the opposite there. They are just there to be providing love and providing things like that. So, yeah. Often they're also over here where it's faster for young people to come around. Talking to their grandparents, it's a really good, you see that relationship as well.
Yeah, my dad has dementia, and my daughter-in-law, she's just a wonderful person, takes Anya and Ezra when he was little every week to spend the morning with my parents. And it's been this unspeakable gift to mum and dad at that time in their lives. Her commitment, I'll get teary when I think that, but her commitment to doing that, and a gift that is into the world, and yet, and the returns that is Ezra as well. Fantastic.
On the intergenerational thing, one of the things that moves me most and inspires me most for everything about parenting is some of you, my mum and dad, and we had the privilege of saying goodbye to her in Darwin when she happened to be when she died, and of having the cousins, our children, and my siblings' children weren't there most of. But we had time to say goodbye, and we asked our kids to send us emails about what they would like to say to my mum if they were there. And we had the chance to read this to her before she died. And that became the centrepiece of a funeral and memorial service. And the point of that saying is to hear your mother come back to you through your children. The grandmother was extraordinary. And the essence of what they said about my mother was, we're so grateful for you as a grandmother. Nah, they called her. Because you were an example of someone who lived their life fully and courageously. And because you listened to us and you nurtured and took our dreams seriously. What more is there to do or say as a parent?
I have 9 grandchildren. I had 4 children, and I've had 4 stepchildren since then. But the oldest of my grandchildren, who was 32, and she's engaged. I'm wondering if I was long enough to.